Life podcast. We truly hope you'll be inspired and challenged today. Now, let's dive into this message with the family at Pleasant Ridge.
For the month of December, we have been looking at these songs that are in the Gospel of Luke, and they all surround, they're all interwoven concerning about Jesus' birth. And we begin our opening with that about Mary's song as she praises God for the great things that he has done in choosing her to bring about Messiah, that she would be considered as the Lord's servant in all of that. Then we looked at Zechariah's song as he praises God for what God has done in sending Jesus past and what he's doing in the present. And John the Baptist is going to be born to an aged Zechariah and Elizabeth, and he was going to be the forerunner. And even what God would do in the future through bringing forward the Messiah through all that. Then we looked at the angel song on Christmas Eve. We talked a little bit about that, about the wonder of the birth of Christ and how it brought great wonder and amazement to the shepherds and to the people that they shared that with as they went to the town. And we're going to finish this up here this morning, and we're going to look at Simeon. And Simeon's song here, possibly in your Bible, it might be titled Simeon's Nunc Dimittis. That's just a Latin phrase. Again, it's simply means now let depart. You'll see why here in just a moment. But let's read together. This is Luke chapter 2. We're going to find ourselves in verse 25. We'll read all the way through verse number 35. Luke writes, "Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the right for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, 'Lord, now you are letting your servant depart,'" there it is, "'in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel.' And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, 'Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel and for a sign that is opposed. And a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that the thoughts from many hearts may be revealed.'" So we have Simeon's song here, and he praises God for the life of Jesus that he is now holding and actually seeing physically with his own eyes. He's a very aged old man. And we're just going to look here and we're going to see some life lessons that Simeon teaches us about what he has and is experiencing through the life of Jesus. And so this is what I want you to take away with you today. In life and death, the Lord has provided his Christ for us. In life and in death, the Lord has provided his Christ for us. So let's take note here. First thing that we learn from Simeon is Simeon sings about salvation. In verse 26, it tells us that it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Verse 27 continues, and it says, "He came in the Spirit into the temple, And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, mark these words, Lord, now. Now. That's a great turning point in his life. Now. Think of it, if you will, somebody who has been waiting and expecting, and there's been a long process, and it's been going on and on and on and on, and finally the page turns. Finally the dawn breaks. Finally the clouds part. Now. Now. I can't help but think of Simeon here. It was revealed to him that he would see Christ. And think of him maybe as a young man. He would see Christ. He would see Christ. And he's going through his years. And then finally, he's getting older and older. He's now, wrinkles are appearing. Hands maybe are starting to shake. Maybe he's walking slowly a little bit more now. And finally, now, he gets to see Christ. What an amazing thing, an announcement of declaration that was for him. And so this man, Simeon, he gets to see Christ. And you think about this period of from when the last prophet spoke, there had been a period of 400 silent years. God wasn't speaking. There was no open revelation. There was no visions. And then there's the revelation to Zechariah and Elizabeth about the birth of their son John, that he would be the forerunner. And Simeon here, he is told, revealed to him by the Holy Spirit, you will hold Jesus. You will see him. You will see this salvation. And so there was a great expectancy from all this. Now notice Simeon's words here in verse number 29. So he says, Lord, he takes the baby in his arms. Jesus here is about 40 days old. He takes this baby in his arms. Lord, now, verse number 29, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. And so there's this now moment with Simeon. In verse number 30, he tells us why this birth is not to be a so overlooked moment, right? It's very decisive for him. It's very revealing for him. Look what he says in verse 30 through 32. For my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people, Israel. And so Simeon sings of this salvation of God, a rescue operation that is amazing to behold. And so this tiny infant, 40 days old, is God's Messiah, sent to secure the salvation. He is the long-awaited Jewish Messiah that was going to bring about peace, that was going to bring about salvation for his people. And notice what he says here. It's this longed-for Jewish deliverer who comes to specifically to bring glory to your people, Israel, but also his glory, notice this, will be a light for revelation to be shown to all peoples, to every nation, the whole world. And so this little baby, this 40-year-old infant, Simeon is holding him up and he's saying, Lord, now, this is it. This is the one. This is the one you have sent to bring glory to Israel. But not just that, but to be a light to all peoples, to every nation, to all the whole world. This is actually a fulfillment of what Simeon says here. This is a fulfillment of what Isaiah said in Isaiah 49, verse number 6, concerning God's servant. I want you to listen to these words, what Isaiah writes. He says, "It is not enough for you to be my servant, raising up the tribes of Jacob and restoring the protected ones of Israel. I will also make you a light for the nations to be my salvation to the ends of the earth." Did you catch that? It is not enough. This is God speaking to his servant Christ, whom he's going to send. And he says, it is not enough for you to just be sent to Israel, for the glory of Israel. It's not enough. I mean, that's amazing. It's not enough just for that. But I want you to be a light to all nations. And so he's not giving him more to do than just, hey, just be a light for, just to be glory for Israel. He says, I have a lot more for you to do, that you would be a light for all nations. And so Christ's coming marks the beginning of hope for people everywhere, for all peoples, for all nations, for the entire world. He has sent. It's not enough. And so in this amazing work of God, don't miss what Simeon says here. It's very personal to him. Notice what he says. My eyes have seen your salvation. He beheld Christ. He's holding him. And he says, my eyes have seen this salvation that has been promised for centuries. I'm actually holding him. I'm seeing him physically with my eyes. And he is now ready to die. He is ready to face death with peace because he himself had seen the one and only Christ who secures salvation for us. And so now he's ready to die because Jesus, our Savior, has been born. He believed without even knowing how it would all end. And he looked at an infant and he saw God's solution to our separation. Trusted in what he came to do, to die for us, to take our place of punishment on the cross. And he says, I am now ready to depart. We all must be prepared for death. All of us. I think one of the lies that is perpetrated over and over and over in our culture is that you're never going to die. And you know how they promote that? Hey, if you could just get this skin cream here, you put this on, your wrinkles disappear. You're actually turning back the clock. Can't do it. Can't do it. We're all faced with the reality of death. One day we are going to die, and we have to be prepared to die. Simeon says, I'm ready now to depart, for my eyes have seen your salvation. I'm ready now. And so we all must be prepared to meet God. The only thing that can prepare us is to see Christ, who is salvation. And that's the most wonderful thing about salvation, is that God reveals to us who Christ is. We see him for who he is. And we turn to him and we trust him and we believe in him, our salvation. And we then are passed from death to life. And so Simeon here sings about salvation. Christ is the only hope that we have that allows us to have peace and relationship with God. Here's the second thing that Simeon sings about. He sings about suffering. Now, I don't know about you, but I think that it's one of those things about the Christian life is we all like the salvation part of it, But when we come to about suffering, oh, leave that one out. Let's not talk about that. That's too much. But in reality, it is part of the Christian life, is our suffering. Because that's exactly what Jesus did, is he suffered. Look at verses 34 and 35. Simeon looks at Mary, says his father and his mother marveled at what he said about him, about Christ, and Simeon blessed them. Okay, so he's looking there at Mary and Joseph. He blesses them, and then he looks very specifically towards Mary. I think it's one of those things, he locks eyes with her, dead on, right? We're looking at you, right? Locking eyes. What does he say to Mary? Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. Boy, is that comforting or what? Mary, I want you to know that this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel. This child is given as a sign, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, Mary. And so this baby, this 40-year-old, this 40-day-old infant, Simeon says, is given as a sign. It's appointed. He's been appointed. He is a sign from heaven that marks the end of neutrality about God. Either you're in or you're out. You're either for or you're against. There's no neutrality. There's no, I'm going to ride the fence. There's no, I'm going to have one foot in and one foot out. It's either you're for Jesus or you're against Jesus. That's it. And that's one of the things that Jesus does, is he brings division. He said, I am not come to bring peace, but what? A sword. And I will divide. And when we follow Christ, when we follow Jesus, when we set our hearts to following him and listening to him and obeying him and walking in his way, guess what? There's going to be division. We're going to see it in people that we know. We're going to see it in family. There's going to be division. And so Simeon says, listen, there's going to be suffering. There's going to be hardship. There's going to be difficulty when you decide to follow after Christ. There's no middle ground. Jesus' birth will either lift up the lowly and bring down the mighty. He will unite some and divide others. People will love him and follow him, or hate him and reject him. And so if you follow Christ, you will be identified with that as well. Notice his words here specifically to Mary. And Mary, a sword will pierce your own soul also. Mary, he will reveal the very secret thoughts and intentions of many hearts, and people don't like the truth to be told about them. And is that not what the Word of God does? It says that it's a sword, sharper than any two-edged sword, rightly dividing soul and spirit, right? It knows the very thoughts and the intents of our hearts. And so Jesus also does that. And so when we follow him and we obey him, we align ourselves with him, you're going to be aligning yourself with all of that suffering that comes from that. Remember what Jesus' words, what he said? He said, if the world hates me, they are going to love you too. No. He says they are going to hate you as well. And so there is suffering as a result of aligning ourselves with the life of Jesus Christ. We will bear his reproach. We are called to be salt and light. Decades later, the Apostle Paul, who bore in his own body the very marks of the Lord Jesus Christ, he wrote these words in Philippians 1, 27 through 29. Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel. And do not be frightened in anything by your opponents. This is a clear sign to them for their destruction, but of your salvation and that from God. For it has been granted to you, listen to this, it has been granted to you that for the sake of Christ, you should not only believe in him, but also suffer for his sake. God has granted us the wonderful opportunity to not only believe in him, but also to suffer with him, suffer for him. And this is one of the amazing things about our Lord and Savior Jesus. Jesus went to the cross. He suffered for sin. He suffered at the hands of sinners. He was rejected. He was despised. He was lied about. He was mistreated. His own father even rejected him on the cross. He turned his back on his son as Jesus became sin for us. And that's why it tells us in Hebrews that we too now can come boldly to the throne of grace. We have a great high priest who in all points like we are have been tempted yet without sin. And he is able to sympathize with us. Jesus knows what it's like to be mistreated. Jesus knows what it's like to be lied about. Jesus knows what it's like to be deserted. Jesus knows what it's like to have people stab you in the back. He has suffered in all points. And he's able to sympathize with us. And he says we can come boldly to the throne of grace and we can find grace and help and mercy in the time of need. As much as we need, as much as we want, as much grace and mercy as we need, we can find it in Christ. And so it's been appointed to us to not only believe in him, but also suffer for his sake. Life with Jesus is not going to always be easy. His purposes brought him to the cross, and if you follow him, his purposes will take you there too. Remember the old hymn? I will go with him to the garden. I will go with him to the garden. You know that one? Takes you all the way to the cross, doesn't it? If we follow Jesus, it's going to take us to the cross. And so let Christ's suffering transform all your suffering, whether from illness or loss or lack, hardship, difficulty. Let all of those things transform you so that it becomes suffering for Christ's sake. Bear in a manner worthy of him, asking for his grace to help in the time of need, that the suffering might have its perfect work in your life. That's exactly what we see from the life of Paul. All the suffering and hardship and difficulties that he went through, it was all for Jesus. And who knows? Who knows? Perhaps as you are walking through some difficulty or hardship of suffering, that there are people who are watching you see how you handle it, and how that can be a witness and a testimony of God's grace and mercy in your life. So Simeon sings about salvation and suffering, but lastly, his song teaches us a very important lesson. And we actually find this throughout the other songs as well. Simeon's song teaches us about surrender. In the coming of Christ, we see God working through several individuals' lives. We have Zechariah and Elizabeth. You have Mary and Joseph. You have Simeon, and then a few verses down out of off of what Simeon says, you have this Anna who's a prophetess. And so you see God working in all of these lives, okay, to bring about Messiah. Now, it's very interesting, especially in Luke's account here, he is very detailed and very specific about telling us about the ages of these individuals. We find that Zechariah and Elizabeth are well advanced in years. They're old. And yet God does a miracle in bringing about the birth of a son, John the Baptist. We have Mary, who is possibly 15 or 16 years old, who brings about the birth of the Messiah. You have Simeon, who's an aged old man. He's been waiting. And finally, he sees the Messiah. And then you have Anna, the prophetess, who tells us, who was married, her husband died after only about 7 years, and then she remained a widow, and now she's 84 years old. Why is God so specific? Why is Luke writing so specific here about the ages of these individuals? I think it's because he wants to teach us a lesson that whether you are young or whether you are aged, our devotion to the Lord should be of primary importance, always. And so here's a couple things that I would like for us to look at this. For those that are young, okay, children, teens, listen up. If you're young, don't wait to serve the Lord later in your life. Do it now. Have devotion to God now. Don't say, well, you know, when I get a little bit older, maybe when I get married, when I do it now. Have a heart of devotion to God now. I'm always so blessed to see some of the children that come up here, young people that come up here. Riley, you're up here playing guitar today, right? That's an amazing thing. That's a blessing, right? Do it now, right? Serve the Lord now when you are young. Give your heart fully over to the Lord now. You think of Mary. It says that the Lord, she was highly favored by God. Why was she highly favored by God? I believe because Mary knew God, and I believe Mary had a heart for God. If you just read through what she says, I mean, she knew the scriptures, she knew who God was. Right? There was a connection there. And so don't wait. Sometimes we have this thinking of, well, you know, I'll do it tomorrow, I'll do it next week, or I'll do it next year, or I'll do whatever. Listen to the wisdom of James. James 4, 13 through 16. Come now, you who say today or tomorrow we will travel to such and such a city and spend a year there and do business and make a profit. You don't even know what tomorrow will bring, what your life will be. For you are a bit of smoke that appears for a little while, then vanishes. Instead, you should say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. But as it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. And so serve God today with your whole heart, fully, completely. Have your whole devotion to God. To those who are AARP card-carrying members, okay, no. To those who are not so aged anymore, okay, you don't fall in the category of a child or a young person. I say this with all due respect and longing, do not throw in the towel. Don't retire from your devotion to the Lord. Keep going. Just look at Simeon and Anna. in their very age, their old age. Look at Zechariah and Elizabeth, right? Continue serving God, having a heart for God, being on fire for the Lord. You know, when you think about Simeon, that he would live until he had seen the Lord's Messiah, we can only imagine how he greeted each day, right? Simeon, you're not going to see death until you see the Lord. So he gets told that. It wasn't told him when, but you can imagine each day. Well, maybe today, right? He goes to the temple. Maybe today's going to be the day. Didn't happen. Year after year clicks by. Those years then turn into decades. And now he finds himself as a very aged, old man. And what does he do? He was there fervently praying, worshiping, doing what God had called him to do. And finally, then, he gets to see Messiah. Think about Anna. It says here in Luke 2:36, and there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin and then as a widow until she was 84 years old. Things had not turned out like Anna had planned. Now she's 84 years old and in the sunset of her life. Wouldn't it have been very easy for her to just say, you know, I've done it all, I've seen it all. What's the use? But she continued with her devotion towards the Lord. And so they persevered in their trust in God's plan and stayed faithful and responsive to the Holy Spirit. And so it was that God let them see and hear something others missed. And so if you're young or you are old, you need to make up your mind to allow your heart to be fully devoted to Him completely. Serve God with every fiber of your being. Give God the very best. Give Him your whole heart and see what the Lord will do in all of that. Let's pray together.
If you're interested in more information about our church or knowing the peace that Jesus gives, visit our website at lifeattheridge.church.